Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, we have a dual special guest in here, our studios. It's going to be Jerry and Sonia. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Good job.
Glessman, they are from, where are you from?
Berkshire Hathaway.
Berkshire Hathaway Real Estate Office, and we're going to talk about buying and selling homes.
Sounds good.
How much money do I need?
Well, it depends on the...
Now, see, you both shut right up on that one. All right. Tell us, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Jerry, where are you from? What have you been doing? What's your background?
Well, I grew up in this area, and then I went into the military. I was in the military for 29 years, and then popped out of the military, retired from it, and went into real estate. Been in real estate going my sixth year.
Yeah, having fun with it?
Having a great time. Yeah. Great people. Love working with people, and that's probably the best part of our job.
That's because you haven't met me yet. Sonia, tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and got into the real estate industry and the mortgage industry early on. I did take a 16-year break for a corporate career, and now I am back with my people doing what I love.
I like that, my people.
My people.
I need people. I don't have people. I need people.
Yes, these people are amazing.
There you go. All right, and how'd you hook up with Berkshire Hathaway?
Jerry, actually, when I got my license, I joined Jerry, and Jerry researched.
I researched Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services Real Estate Professionals, and actually the principal broker there, Sue Kurth, was really great. I really liked the atmosphere at Berkshire Hathaway, and that made my decision for me.
There you go. All right. Well, this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about buying a home. We're going to talk about selling a home, and you're going to have me convinced whether I should buy or sell. If a young couple, let's just say, well, it doesn't have to be a young couple. It could be someone even my age, old. Let's say you've never owned a home, and a couple decides, you know what, we want to buy a home. We want to buy our first home. What do you do? What's the first thing you need to do on that?
Yeah, I think... That's a great question, because a lot of people feel like it is out of their reach, and they don't realize that it can be affordable to buy a home. There's a lot of great programs out there that will allow them to finance a mortgage. The first thing that they should always do is pick the right team. So part of that team would be a lender, a bank officer, loan officer, someone that can talk to them about what they qualify for, what their down payment would be, what their closing cost would be.
Okay, let's take each one of those at a time here. So when you're saying a lender, do I go to my local bank and say, hey, to the manager, I want to buy a house? And he's going to look at me and say, get out of here. I mean, how do you define somebody?
That's one way of doing it. And we recommend that you shop around for a lender. Doesn't hurt to visit a couple lenders.
Who's the lender?
Lenders would be mortgage loan officers, would be local banks here, national banks.
Are all banks lenders?
All banks are lenders.
Credit unions?
Yeah, okay. Credit unions, mortgage brokers, which work with banks and credit unions to get you the best interest rate.
Okay, I'm going to walk into my bank, and I'm going to stand up to the bank manager and say, hey, I want to find out what your rates are. Is that what I'm asking them?
Right. It's important to get rates and down payments and the programs that they run. For example, you know, we're a military family. One of the benefits of being a military family is 100% financing through the Veterans Administration. And that's one of the programs that a lot of people qualify for that they may not realize.
Okay, and if you're not a veteran?
Then there's USDA loans that's 100% financing. There's FHA loans that are 3.5% down. And then the majority of loans and where you get your best deals are called conventional loans, conventional financing.
What is that?
It's basically just a loan that is not underwritten by VA or FHA. So it's a conventional conforming loan, and they do as little as 3% down.
Okay. My nephew recently bought a home a few years ago, and they paid zero down. He's not a veteran. How did he get away with that?
There's programs where they do qualify for possibly a USDA loan or what they call a rural.
Jerry, when she says you have to qualify, what do you have to do? Do you have to have excellent credit? Do you have to have what to qualify?
Generally, each lender is a little bit different, but generally, yes, your credit score is going to be a big part of it. However, you don't have to have a 700, 800 credit score to purchase a home. You do have
Who
to
Who has an 800?
He does.
Does he really? That's the kind of guy you want to beat up, you know? You have an 800?
Yeah, so you don't have to have it that high. Now, your interest rate may be a little bit higher the lower your credit score is, but you can still purchase a home. And again, I'm going to throw this in here. Purchasing a home, you're building equity in a home versus paying rent, which you're not building equity in. So that's the important part, especially for first-time homeowners, is that you're building some equity for down the road.
Can I just add, it's really important to talk to a lender, what we call a mortgage loan officer, up front, and find out what your path to homeownership looks like.
What does
so
that mean?
Even if you know that your credit is not the best, you could sit down with a mortgage loan officer that will explain the things that you can do that will get you the biggest jump in your credit score to put you into a position to buy a home.
Give me an example.
For example, if somebody has a lot of debt, they're carrying a lot of debt, the mortgage loan officer will go through their credit report with them and say, okay, so once you pay this off, you can afford this amount of home. Once you pay this and this off, this is what you can afford. Or if they have credit, if they need some credit repair, the loan officer will sit down and say, well, here's what you could do to repair your credit. Okay. And so it gives them kind of the path that they need to be on to get to where they want to go.
What is the lowest credit score you've seen where someone's been able to get a house?
590.
Seriously?
Seriously. So, again, every lender's a little bit different. Different program, loan programs are going to be different. Well, the market is going to drive that.
Sure,
There's a lot of loans going out, that credit score is going to go up to improve the borrowers.
Okay.
But if there's not a whole lot of loans going out, then the credit score is going to come down.
So after you've talked to your lender, what's the next step?
Well, we mentioned earlier that it's really important to have the right team, right?
How do you know if you have the right team?
Well, if those people
I suppose
are
you're the right team, right? Is that what you're going
with? That's where I was going with it, right? And it's important to have people to advocate for you in this market. And we work with a lot of loan officers that are really one-on-one.
Well, because if you don't make the sale, you're eating hamburgers that night.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I like ramen noodles. But I just prefer not to have them every meal, right?
How do you determine who's the right team or not? I mean, how do you know whether you guys are it or whether, you know, Joe Blow down the street's the guy?
Sure. I think it's important to have a good relationship. But for us, we're very responsive, and that's super important in this market. It's so fast. We joke that you get two for the price of one with us, right? So if our clients need something, they could text either me or Jerry, and we're one of us is always able to respond
pretty
quickly.
So if I don't like Jerry, that means I don't have to like him either?
I don't. Very many people don't like him.
Most people like her. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's just
say, okay, that Jerry, Sonia, you guys are the right team, okay? Then what? Then we've discovered you, so do I say, this is what we're looking for?
Right.
So the lender's going to give you a price, amount that you can spend on a home. It's going to vary. So it could be, you know, $300,000 on up to $1 million, dollars to spend on a home.
Who's buying $1 million home?
You'd be surprised.
There's quite a few, actually. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, the price is going to vary. But
just
what we
curiosity,
do,
I don't mean to interrupt, but just out of curiosity. What is the monthly payment on $1 million home?
Right around $6,000, depending on the taxes, but about
That's what I make in two years.
$5,000 to $6,000
a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But it also depends on down payment, too. So it's so, you know, that most people that are buying $1 million home usually have a pretty good chunk down. So. Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That is still okay. Valid point. Right.
So once we get your loan amount that you can spend, then that's where we kick in and we start looking for homes for you that are active on the market. And there's other internet sites that you can go to as well. But a lot of those sites don't update as quickly as we can get information. So it's important to have a really good...
How does that work?
Well, it's just how they run things. We deal with a multiple listing service or an MLS, and that's where the real estate brokers put their listings. And so we have a requirement to have that updated in a matter of 2 days. Some of the internet sites take 2 weeks to have stuff updated. So it's really important to communicate with us. We can get you an answer on whether a property is active or not active.
Okay.
Because we're communicating with the listing agent who's communicating with the seller. So for us, it's all direct communication.
Okay, so you find the house. It's over here on 123 Main Street. Then what happens?
Well, at that point, you've got your pre-approval letter from the lender, and then you're working yourself into an offer. So basically, you decide how much that home is worth to you and what you're willing to pay for it.
How do you know?
Yeah, market is, it's really market-driven.
I said the question is, how do you know? Not me. How do you know what it's worth?
We do this every day. So okay. That's the important thing is we're here to advocate for you as a buyer or even a seller if we're representing a seller.
Can you do both?
We can do both, but we prefer to advocate or work with one party
at
a time. Because if you work on both ends, it's pretty difficult to advocate for both parties.
Sure.
So it's best to work for one at a time. With us, we have two real estate brokers, so I could work the buyer side, she could work the seller side, or vice versa if we need to.
And who's on the couch that night?
Exactly.
So been on the couch before, haven't you, Terry?
More than once.
You got it, Terry. you guessed it. So
you're working with another real estate agent on the other side then, really?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Communicating. Now, we don't communicate what the buyers are telling us unless they ask us to do that.
Okay.
Same with the listing broker or the seller's broker. They don't tell, what the sellers can do or willing to go down. So that's where the real estate brokers breach that gap.
Okay.
It can be difficult because we are in a market. We'll talk about seller's market later, but we're in a market where there's often multiple bids on any one house. So it's always important to put your best foot forward, and you don't know what those other bids are. So as a buyer, you are saying, here's what the home is worth to me. Here's what I'm willing to pay for it. It's not always the highest bid.
Okay, so let's just say we only got about a minute left here, so we'll run this real quickly. But if a home is worth $300,000 and I decide I want to go in there, what should I offer them? I'm not going to offer them the $300,000, am I?
Well, generally in this market, you're not. And so there's other things which we'll talk about here in a few moments about how to set up an offer. Price is one factor of an offer. So obviously right now we're seeing about $15,000 to $20,000 over asking price on average.
Really?
Yes.
And they're getting it?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Okay, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show, it's being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More in just a moment. Stick around. We're just getting warmed up.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Welcome back to The Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with Jerry and Sonia Glessman from the Berkshire Hathaway Real Estate Office. And when we were just talking a few minutes ago, we found the house that we're looking for. Now what do I do? How much do I offer them?
Like we said before, it depends on the listing price. It also depends on the interest and the location, and there's so much that go into it. But a lot of what we're doing right now is trying to make our offer look attractive amongst other offers. So there's oftentimes 3 to 20 offers on the same home because the inventory is so low.
Do you know that there's other offers out there and what they are?
We work with the other agent to find out, how many offers there are on the house, and then that's how we structure our offer.
Could the agent be holding out on you, or do you guys usually work pretty good with other agents?
Well, you know, professionally, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be honest dealing folks. So I would say yes. Most people are honest with us when they're saying that they have X number of offers. And so we base our offer on how many there are in hand is what we call it. So they physically have them. But there's components to the offer that will change between
other.
So listing or the price that you're going to offer. So the listing price is what the seller is saying that they want. The offer price may be different. So again, we're seeing typically about $15,000 to $20,000 over the listing price of what the seller's looking for. That's on average.
It's kind of high, isn't it?
Not really. Not really. Now, if you're going, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 over on a, let's say a $350,000 house, that's way too high, in my opinion. I think you're getting yourself into a bad situation. I think, $15,000, $20,000 isn't that bad, even if it doesn't appraise at that. So if it's $350,000, now you're at $370,000. If it appraises at $365,000, you're still sitting fine because in a month or two, you get to recover that $5,000, provided the market continues to go up. And that's the important thing is the market's going to shift. It's going to go down and it's going to go up, peaks and valleys.
Depending on what? What does it depend on?
A number of different things.
I will say right now, the inventory, thank goodness we have started to see a little bit more inventory come onto the market as we go into the summer, and it is starting to stabilize the prices. Obviously, the more inventory you have, the more options buyers have, and that creates a better opportunity.
Does politics weigh in? Does it matter who's the president or who's the governor? Does that weigh in at all?
Typically not. It depends on their policies, obviously. If something major, major policy in housing comes down,
okay, it
may affect the interest rate. And if the interest rate obviously goes up, we've seen that in November of 18, they raised the interest rate to 5%, and the buyers went away. We didn't see it. It went dead flat. And until they brought the interest rates back down to about 3.5%, did we start seeing more and more buyers come in?
If you think about it, right now, with the interest rates so low, it has given buyers more buying power because they can now afford payments to get a home, whereas before they may not have been able to.
Okay. Let's finish where we're at then. If you make your offer, what happens next? Well, obviously, they either accept it or not. What happens to the house? Do you have to have an inspection? Do you have to have it appraised? Who does that?
You're working with your lender, and the bank will require an independent appraiser to go out and certify the value of the home.
Who pays for that?
The buyer does.
Okay, what's that usually around?
800-ish, depending on your loan program.
He's just looking at a house, for crying out loud.
I know. Right.
You know what? I'd do it for $35. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, some loan programs are a little bit more reasonable, but...
So the buyer takes care of that?
They do, as part of their loan. But before they even get to that point, there is an inspection period.
Who does
now,
that?
We have home inspectors that will go out and do a whole house inspection.
That's up to the buyers to determine who does it. We have home inspectors that we work with, and we certainly recommend them if the buyers want us to.
Who takes care of that?
The buyer.
The buyer's taking care of a lot of stuff.
They sure are.
Is that all incorporated in their loan, though, their original loan?
It's all part of what's quoted to them from their lender to get into the home. So they will have to deposit earnest money, which we haven't talked about. If they want a home inspection, they would have to pay for the home inspection. They have to pay for the appraisal before they ever go into title on the home, yes.
Okay. What is earnest money? How much does that usually run? Depending?
It depends on the, yes, it absolutely depends on the sales price of the home.
Okay. $300,000 home? What are you talking about?
You're about at 1,000 on that.
Well, that's not bad.
1,000 to 2,500. And it is credited towards the down payment and the closing costs at the end. All of this is.
So if the inspection, with our final 2 minutes here, if the inspection comes back and says that's not worth $300,000, that's worth about $275,000.
That would be the appraisal that comes back that would say that. And if it doesn't appraise out, then the buyers have the option to continue with the sale and cover that difference in cost out of pocket. So that would be cash.
Well,
there goes the buyer again.
Yeah. Will you quit reaching into my pocket there?
They don't call it a seller's market for nothing.
Apparently.
Remember, this is an investment, too. It's a long-term investment.
All right.
And again, if you do it right and you don't get afraid of the market and you be patient with the market and sell on the high end.
If I had patience, I'd be a doctor.
Yeah. But this is one of the biggest investments most people make in their lifetime.
Sure.
And
sure.
If you do it right, it can really benefit you.
Right. All right. Jeez, you guys are nickel and diming me here.
Wait until we get to the sellers. Yeah. it's all worth it in the end.
In the inspection, if they get in there and they find termites or the garbage disposal doesn't work, whatever, do they bring that back to you and say, hey, this is what we've discovered here?
Correct. So in that case, what we would do is we would look in the current market, we're looking for sales or lender required repairs. Any other repairs are going to be pretty difficult to get. But lender required repairs are the ones that lender require. So i.e. the siding is bad. It's got dry rot in it. That's a lender required repair. So we would go back to the sellers and ask for that.
And we're just about out of time here, but in one word, is it better to buy a new home or a used home, I guess?
You want to talk about lumber prices?
Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more special guests coming up in just a minute. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group. We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking with Jerry and Sonia Glessman. Did I say it right? Am I getting the names right here? From Brookshire Hathaway. They are, what are you guys' titles? Are you real estate agents, or what is your title?
Real estate brokers.
Real estate brokers, okay. So in our last segment, we're just about ready to buy the home here. The final, okay, you call me back up and says, it's done. We're ready. What do I do?
I did want to address the newer or older homes.
Okay.
I think there's benefits from both of them, especially with lumber prices coming back down. New builds can be a beautiful investment. So I wouldn't necessarily have a choice between. Okay. They're both great.
All right.
So
tell me about closing. Let's close this deal. I got things to do here. Let's wrap this up.
So we got the repairs done. We got the appraisal done. Everything's good. Both the seller and buyers are good. Now it comes down to the lenders and title company, and they're working the figures and making the final touches on the loan. And then you come down to signing. And you go into an escrow office, title company office, and you
now,
do
Now, will
your,
you be there? Will you guys be there with us?
Generally, we're not. Some brokers are, some are not. We're available on our phones.
And we preview everything before you go in there.
So there's no surprises.
Our escrow, when I say you've got to have the right team, your escrow company is part of that team.
Okay.
Yeah, and they do a great job. And if there's something that changes, we get a phone call, and we're right there answering that call to make sure that the closing goes nice and smooth. And again, if we've done our job correctly, we won't get a phone call.
Okay.
Because everything is done.
So how long does closing take? What do you do?
To sign the paperwork?
I guess.
With the escrow company, it takes probably 4 to 6 weeks to actually get to that point. But once you get to that point, it goes pretty fast. Usually for a seller, half hour, buyer, maybe an hour. But there's a lot of paperwork to sign.
Right. And then they hand you the keys and you're it.
Depends on when your possession is. When you get the keys, and that's part of the original offer. But yeah, it becomes, once we fund and record, the home is yours.
And then now, how do you guys get paid? When do you get paid?
We get paid through the escrow company, okay. And they actually send it to our company, and then we have a split, and they break that out and send it to us.
Right.
So that's okay for the buyer. Let's talk about the seller.
Right.
Now, I have a relative. I told you about the off the air. I have a relative that told me that for sellers, it has to have curb appeal. What the hell is he talking about?
I mean, it's definitely a term that we use in real estate a lot. When you're at the curb of the home on the street and you're looking at the home, and if the home looks appealing to most people, that's what curb appeal is. So that's why you want to make sure that your landscaping is taken care of, the home is painted, it looks nice. When they say curb appeal, it makes people want to go look inside.
Well, I want to do it with every house. I'm just nosy. You
know. Sure,
so
it's fun.
Do you have, okay, if your house is straightened up and it looks okay, then what do you have, an open house or something?
So we would go through the listing agreement first. So again, we talked with the seller. We would talk about commissions. And again, we're not supposed to talk outside of with the seller's commission rates.
Right.
But we would make that agreement with the sellers. And that is split between the buyer's agent or broker and the seller's broker. If it's a 6%, then depending on the industry standard right now is 2.5 and 3.5. 2.5 for the buyer's broker, 3.5 for the seller's broker. But that can change. That can go up or down. So there's no set standard, let's put it that way.
Right. You're hitting him, and it's driving me crazy. Why do you keep hitting him?
I
talk
just,
too much.
Leave him alone, will you? I'm sitting there whacking this guy as he's trying to talk, and it's like
he may need you to come home with us so you could he can.
You were in the military all these years. Tell her at ease.
Yeah, I can ignore it.
Yeah, geez, tell her at ease.
Right. I'm petting him. I'm not hitting him. I'm petting him.
Uh-huh. He's got a bruise from all those pettings. All right, so let's get back to the curb appeal. So your house looks okay. What, as a agent, what are you looking for when you see a house for curb appeal? What are you looking at to see if there's a dead skunk on the front porch or whatever? Or what are you looking for?
Yeah, some of those things. What you want to do is make your house appealing. In order to do that, it has to look good, it has to smell good, and it has to be good to get your best and highest offer. So it can be anything from peeling paint. A fresh coat of paint on the inside will do wonders.
Really?
Wonders. You know, your floor coverings are really, really important. Making sure your carpets, even if they're not brand new, that they've been cleaned recently.
You're going to spend some money before you're going to sell this thing if you haven't maintained it.
If you haven't maintained it, then you should spruce it up. Absolutely. If you have colors that are kind of uncommon, then you'd want to repaint. White is very attractive and it looks very clean. So if you have a pink bathroom, you might want to consider painting it white so that it'll appeal to more people.
Who has a pink bathroom?
You'd be surprised.
If I had a pink bathroom, I'd get beat up. Crying out loud. All right. Once you feel your house is ready to go. How do you know what to ask for it? How do you know how much you think it's worth? Is it worth $300,000? Is it worth $400,000? How do you know?
So that's our job as real estate brokers, is we come, we take a look at the condition of the house, and then we run comparables. What has sold, a comparable is what has sold recently, and recently in this market is last 2 months. Sometimes we have to go back 6 months, depending on the volume in that particular area. But that gives us a medium price or an average price of homes in that area and of the same liking. So if you have a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, you know, 2,800-square-foot house, you're going to want to get a comparable that has sold within the last 2 months in that area, that neighborhood, preferably, and a couple of them if we can find them, that will give us a price at what has sold before. That's what the appraisers are going to look at.
Will you go to the seller and say, hey, you know what? You may think this is worth $400,000, but it's really not.
We've had those conversations. And
really?
Bottom line is the sellers have the final decision. We're there to advise them. And I've had sellers that said, no, this is what it's worth. We're going to put it on the market for this. And, you know, if that's what the sellers want, then that's what we do. Our job is to educate and advise. Here's what the market's doing. But it doesn't mean that the seller can't, you know, up that price or lower that price.
So if you're selling this house and somebody comes up and says, John Doe comes up and says, okay, I'm interested in the house. Do you take what he's offering and go to the seller? Or how does that work?
Right, because you have a buyer's agent that is representing the buyer. The buyer's agent will send it to us as the listing agent.
Okay.
We gather that offer and any other offers that may have come in. Oftentimes, we have to set an offer deadline to say, you know, like we're going to review offers with the seller at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. So any offers need to be in by then.
It actually comes down to the hour like that? Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. There's many times we've been sitting trying to find Wi-Fi, writing an offer to get in by deadline. It's a very fast paced. But, you know, then you'll sit down with the seller and you'd say, okay, we have four offers that came in. Here's offer A, B, C, and D, and then we'll let the offer, you know, let the sellers decide which one that they feel most comfortable
well,
with.
They're going to go for the highest one, aren't
Not
they?
Not necessarily,
really?
No. A lot of factors do go into it. The buyers have an option of waiving an inspection or an inspection period. Sellers seem to really like that. It's not something as a buyer's agent that we feel completely comfortable with, but on the other hand, it's going to be the buyer's choice to do that.
But by waiving the inspection, isn't that something that the lender requires? You said earlier that the lender would be the one that requires that, right?
The lender will require an appraisal. The
okay.
appraiser will go out there, and sometimes the appraiser will see things that he will condition the price on,
okay.
which is going to be different than an inspection. So the lender does not require an inspection. They require an appraisal, and the appraisal may have conditions.
So how many people are involved in this purchase? We're talking a lot of people, aren't we?
I've never done the math on that.
Are we talking a lot of people here?
Yes.
But you get the buyer, you got the seller, which are the two most important in the transaction. You got both of their real estate brokers, and then you got an inspection individual, which could be, there's a number of different inspections. The main one is a full home inspection, but we may need to call out a roofer. We may need to do a sewer scope. Again, these are recommendations that the home inspector would do. So those are additional people on. Then you got your appraiser, and then you got your title and escrow.
And your lender.
Folks, and your lender, yes. So,
and all their people.
Well, I hope you're not having them all over for a barbecue. Crying out loud.
Well, and our job as real estate brokers is to wrangle everybody together and get the sale to closing.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So
it's really about relationship building.
You know, and
being able to, like, you know, I know I keep saying this, but it's really the team and the people that you work with and trusting them.
And this is fun for you, huh?
No, it's amazing fun.
It's a blast.
We have so much fun with our clients. Because really, I don't want to do a job if it's not fun. So we laugh a lot and have a lot of fun with our clients.
All right, let me throw you a curve, and let's just take some of this fun right out of this room real fast here. What about the homes that are for sale by owner?
Oh, I have to take a deep breath on that one. How much time do we have left? Because that's a whole nother, we call it FSBO in our industry.
You call it what?
FSBO, F-S-B-O, for sale by owner. So FSBOs are an interesting subject.
You really want to call it pain in the rear, right?
Well, I understand the motivation. I really do. And I understand that it is appealing, but I will tell you that there's a lot of things that we do as realtors that protect both the seller and the buyer, and a lot of paperwork and a lot of disclosures. And so there are times where it can be scary to sell your own home. And I will tell you that most of the litigation from real estate comes for sale by owners. So that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to get in that position, but it's definitely something to factor in.
All right. We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. More in just a moment.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest is Jerry and Sonia Glessman from the Brookshire Hathaway Real Estate Office, and we've been talking about buying and selling a home. What's the difference between a seller's market and a buyer's market? What's the difference?
Right now we're in a seller's market, and a seller's market is basically a low inventory market where we have very few homes on the market, which we go by months of inventory. So right now we're sitting at less than a month of inventory for homes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a number of different reasons for it. We're seeing a lot of people move more into out of the metro areas and into the suburbs and smaller towns because of the pandemic and because of work from home. A lot of people are taking advantage of that, and they're saying, hey, let's get a little bit bigger home, let's get a little bit of property, you know, we're home, let's just make this our, you know, office, if you would. And so we're seeing that it's a paradigm switch from before the pandemic.
Yeah, has the pandemic really hurt a lot?
I will tell you one of the problems is because it has created this shortage. So the pandemic has hurt, but a lot of people are saying, "Hey, I'd sure like to sell my home in this high market, but where am I going to go?" And I always say it's relative. If you sell high, then you buy high, unless you wait it out until the market goes back down again. But then what do? Rent in the meantime, right? So if you want to take advantage of the seller's market and sell high, then you might be in the opposite position when you go to buy, and you may have to buy higher than you want to. But it's relative.
So that's the seller's market. What's the buyer's market? And when are we going to go back into that?
Oh, it's going to be probably a couple years before we see that.
Wow.
And a lot of it is going to depend on building new construction. New construction will have to pick up in order for us to get the inventory that we need, because obviously this is showing us that we don't have the inventory currently on current builds. So new construction is going to be important in that aspect to bring us back up to at least an equal market, where about 6 months of inventory creates a stable market where buyers and sellers, neither one of them really have an advantage, and so they work together.
Is that the ideal time, is when it's a even playing field?
It is. Yeah, that's it's best for both parties there. Otherwise, if you go into a seller's market, obviously the sellers have the upper hand. If you go into a buyer's market, then the buyers have the upper hand.
How long is the house usually on the market? Right now, it's not on there very long, is it?
Right. It's starting to stabilize a little bit, but we were seeing a house go what we call live. They come on the market on a Thursday or Friday. There'd be quite a few showings, and then as they're their listing agents would have an open house typically on Saturday and Sunday, and then by Monday they were going under contract. So they could have gone under contract faster than that, but they kept it live in order to get the best offer that they could. So it was about 3 days. It is, like I said, it is starting to stabilize a little bit more. We're starting to see 6 days on the market being fairly more common, but even then, that's
crazy,
a lot.
Doesn't
It is. Like I said, it is a fast moving market, so you do have to move.
If you snooze, you lose.
If you snooze, you lose. And that's the thing, is if you're like, well, I want to go see it again, or I'm not sure we're ready to make an offer, and you're gonna lose your opportunity. Yeah.
Wow. So from day one, January 1, I decide I want to buy a house. How long is it going to take until I'm done? The last time I ever see you guys, when we sign that line, you hand me those keys and I'm out of here.
But we never really go away.
Yeah.
I'm kind of finding that out. I'm beginning to find that out.
Yeah.
How long does it usually take from start to finish?
Well, the average time frame right now is about 35 days.
That's all.
Depending on the type of loan or if you have cash. If you have cash, we closed one in 14 days on a cash offer. So it really just depends. But that's part of the offer that we put together, and we base it off of both the sellers and the buyer's needs and wants. So sometimes the sellers want to close really fast, and the buyers want to close really fast, and so we try to do it as quickly as we can, the team.
If you think about it, the sellers always have something that motivates them, right? Whether they want to move to another state and they've got a moving van coming on, August the 15th, so they want to. So we try to work and make sure that the timeline fits everybody's wants and needs, and we're usually pretty successful at that.
It's incredible that in 14 days you can do it that fast.
That fast.
What's the longest it's taken you? 37 years.
75 days.
Really?
Yep. Back when appraisals were taking a while, yeah.
Yeah.
What about when a family member passes away? I bet you get a lot of that where the family that inherits the house says, you know what, we want to get rid of it, sell it. Are they a little bit more motivated as a seller to get rid of it? Instead of worry about the hang-ups with it?
Not necessarily. It really depends on, how many family members you're dealing with. It also depends on the family member that passed away, how much in order their, stuff, paperwork was. If they don't have a will, they don't have a living trust, they don't have, some things put in place, it's going to be a lot harder, and you can actually have the court make a decision if they
didn't. You're not going to get that done in 14 days, are you?
No. So there's a process to that, and we work through that process. If it goes to the courts, we work with the courts, and we work with the title company and escrow company. And I don't think I've ran into the exact same situation in selling a home. There's all different situations, and the biggest thing is communication, talking, and making sure that we're getting all the information, and then we help the sellers.
Is there any one place that's really hot right now, one area that's just really cooking for you guys right now? West Salem, South Salem?
West Salem and South Salem are pretty hot. Kaiser's pretty hot right now.
Isn't Kaiser spendy, though? It is. It's better than it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
a little bit higher.
Yeah, it was on one of the higher, but you'd be amazed at Polk County and West Salem and the prices and what has happened out there. But I will tell you, Dallas, Jefferson, Staten, Almsville, all of those places are really posting some good numbers, too.
Good. Right. Yeah, the smaller communities are just seeing record numbers.
Right. Not everything's hot, but most things are.
Well, if people wanted to get in touch with you folks, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, we are definitely on social media, so you can look us up on Facebook. Our website, my website is Sonia Glessman with two N's at BHHSREP.com. My phone number always 541-350-7826. Or you can email me, but we're definitely available.
And how about you, Jerry?
And my number is 541-505-2675. Yeah, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me is a text or a phone call.
Okay. And you guys, you answer all your emails and stuff?
Yep.
We do.
Facebook messages, smoke signals. Those are a little tough, but yeah.
All right. Listen, I've got 1,000 more questions to ask you guys. Would you guys come back again? Let's do this again.
We would love to, but are you going to be nice to me?
Why start now?
All right. I'm going to have to be the referee. Right?
Well, she's the one that's hitting you.
Maybe you got to be the referee.
I'm too far across the room.
Love taps.
Love taps. All right. Those were love taps, folks. We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by The Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.